You know, I taught several times now recently about loving the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, right? That was in Exodus 20. That's where I want to go, Exodus 20, verse 1. That was where the first commandment that was given by God was to have no other gods before you and to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what Jesus said was the first commandment, and to love your neighbor as yourself, right? So we've talked about that part, but today I actually want to get into something else that's quite interesting. Now, how many of you would like to understand a little bit better the mark of the beast? So let's talk about that. Now, to do that, I'm actually going to take you back to the commandments and start with that before we get into the book of Revelation. If you'll notice in verse 1, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Now, what's cool about this is you can't just say that was Israel that got brought out of Egypt. Egypt is a place of captivity and bondage. Have you been rescued from captivity? Has the Lord saved you out of your sin? Yes, so you've been delivered from Egypt, a type of Egypt, okay? So does this apply to you?
Yes.
Yes. Verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. That was the first commandment. But I want to deal with 2 and 3. Verse 4 says, you shall not make unto you any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. So he's very clear about this. You are not to make any image that tries to represent God. God himself will provide the image. Are you following me? God himself provides images, not us. We cannot set up an image and say, I'm going to worship an image and call it God. Would it be possible in our world here to make a man an image and worship a man? Don't do that. Don't ever do that. You worship God. God gave us the image. The image he gave us was who? Jesus Christ. That's who we're going to follow. Now, he goes on to say, verse 5 says, you shall not bow down yourself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Albeit, let's be clear. Who's God going to visit the iniquities of? Them that hate God. So don't worry about judgment and tribulations and all of this coming down, plagues and all of this. Plagues are meant for the wicked, those that hate God. Who does God want to judge? If you stand in a place in judgment before God, he is going to judge the wicked in you and separate the wicked from you. And where does that leave you? With God, with the righteous, right? Well, he goes on to say in the next verse, and he shows mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Well, there's your answer. Who gets mercy? You just love the Lord. Isn't that simple? You love the Lord and you're obedient to his commandments. Isn't that simple? Who gets judged and their iniquity gets visited in many generations to come? Those that hate him. Oh boy. Didn't in the churches in the book of Revelation, weren't there those things that God hated? God hates. Yes, he does. It's righteous hate, but he hates those that hate him too, right? There's a very clean thought in there as well. And then, of course, verse 7, the last verse I'll read here, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Now, I want to write something on the board. If you're going to take the name of the Lord in vain, I want you to realize that the word take, it means more than like I walk up to you and take something from you. That's not what it's saying, okay? To take something is to bear his name, right? Or to raise it up, to raise up, or to lift up. Now, how do I know this? Because the word take there is used in the Bible many times with these references, with these words that I'm saying. So he doesn't want you to bear or to wear the name of the Lord in vain. Now let's describe that a little more. What does the word vain mean? Well, if I was to write that on the board, the word vain, you could write, in replacing the word vain, you could write false. You could write it's used as false witness or a false divination. Isn't that interesting? So in other words, if you are going to take on the name of the Lord and you're going to work it in a false witness, are you taking or bearing the name of the Lord in vain? What does God hate? Does he hate a false witness? He does. So when you think about taking on the name of the Lord, you cannot take it on in a place of falsehood. So we say, well, I'm going to walk in the name of the Lord. If you do, what will you represent? The Lord. So will you represent righteousness? Will you represent peace? Will you represent joy? Will you represent the holiness of God? You will. And so forth. But if you walk in a vanity, will you be a false witness of that? Now, what's interesting is this. When you're dealing with these two commandments that we just read, the first was in verse 3, in verse 4, you shall make no graven image, so you're not going to set up idols, okay? And then you're, do not take the name of the Lord in vain. Do you know what this is describing? Do you know what the Lord is setting us up for? Do not take the mark of the beast. Now, it's interesting that the mark of the beast is, it's a thing that's been greatly misunderstood, okay? And in the book of Revelation, I want to read something to you in chapter 14. Actually, hold off right there before you go there. I'm just going to mention it to you. There were three angels that were sent by the Lord in heaven. The first angel said, worship the Lord, fear God, and glorify him. And he said, because the hour of judgment is come. Now think about that. Angel number one in chapter 14 says, fear God because the hour of judgment is come. This is the angel with the everlasting gospel who is sent to the earth. So he's talking to the earth and he's saying, fear God, the hour of judgment is come. The second angel comes in and says, Babylon, Babylon the great is fallen. That's the second angel. Do you know what the third angel says? Whatever you do, do not take the mark of the beast nor worship the image of the beast. Do you see where I'm getting at? Now, if you take commandment number two, what's the Lord tell us not to do? Make an idol and worship any other idol. Don't do it. What's commandment number three? Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Don't represent the Lord. Do you know what taking a mark of the beast, you know what that is? It's taking the name of the beast. Now, some people are looking for this to take place in a physical sense. Okay, we're waiting on the Antichrist to rise up in the world, and you're going to be given a chip in the forehead or a chip in the hand, and you're not going to be able, if you take that chip, you'll be able to buy groceries and food and do banking and all of this stuff, right? Interesting enough, I'm not sure why people make that physical, because, Keith, if the Lord comes down from heaven and writes his name on your forehead, like he does, he seals those that are his. If he does that, is he going to do that physically? Is he going to write his name on your forehead physically? No. Why would we make the mark of the beast a physical thing if you're not going to walk around with the name of the Lord physically on your forehead? It's not going to happen. So let's move that part out of the way and let's talk about the mark of the beast and what it represents here, okay? Because if the angel of the Lord is saying, do not take the mark of the beast, that means that it's possible to receive a mark, okay? Now let me write something on the board here. Let me erase this part. How many know the story of heaven? Starting in chapter 12 of Revelation. You have a woman who is in heaven. And who is she going to give birth to? Well, the Bible calls it a man-child. You know what this man-child, the Bible says he'll do? He'll rule all nations. All nations with a rod of iron, okay? He'll rule all nations. He's going to be in authority over it all, okay? So I want you to look at this man-child as the sons of God. How many of you would think that that man-child represents your sonship? You think? You maybe haven't read the book of Revelation much. But this son represents the son of God that you are. And if you notice in the churches, you know what that the overcomer receives? In the church of Thyatira, it says that if you overcome, you shall rule the nations with a rod of iron. So would it be possible that this man-child is very, very important to the plan of God? But all of a sudden, this dragon shows up in heaven. It's a wonder. And he's got 7 heads, 10 horns, 10 crowns on his heads, his horns. And all of a sudden, who do you think he goes after? The man-child. What does the dragon want? He wants your sonship. He wants your sonship. The one that's going to reign with Christ for all eternity. That's what the dragon wants. Who is he? He's the devil. He's Satan. The serpent, the Bible calls him. What's he want? He wants to destroy your sonship. He's going after the man-child. But the man-child was delivered to the throne of God. And then a war started in heaven. And all of a sudden, this war that was in heaven, Michael and his angels fought against the devil, the dragon and his angels. What happened to the dragon? So if this is taking place in heaven, that dragon was cast to the earth. And now that he is cast to the earth, he has no more place in heaven. Salvation has come to heaven and heaven is cleansed. You know why? Because he could not overcome the man-child. He got cast out of heaven. And now, so where is the battle taking place now? In the earth. Well, it's interesting. You go from chapter 12 to chapter 13. And all of a sudden, you see a beast, a sea beast, rising up out of the sea. A beast rising up out of the sea. And he's got 7 heads and 10 horns. Just like the dragon. And he's speaking blasphemies against God. Blasphemies. Now, he's already going after the woman and her seed. So he's still in the earth. What do you think he's going after in the earth? He's going after the seed, the sons of God. He's going after you who are called by God to raise up a banner and take the name of the Lord in righteousness. In other words, have you taken on the name of the Lord? Do you lift it up? Do you raise it high and walk in purity and righteousness and salvation of the Lord? Or are you walking in a false witness? Don't do that. But if you've taken on the name of the Lord, who do you think this beast is coming after? You. He's coming after your word of God. Therefore, in the earth now, there's a beast who rose up out of the sea. So that's the first beast. The second beast rose up out of the earth. So I'm going to call him an earth beast. Now the dragon gave the sea beast power. I'm trying to tell it like in a story form almost. And so this beast rises up and he's definitely against all the saints of God. Okay? And then this earth beast rises up. Now him, he's going to deal in false prophecy. Okay? That's what he does. This is where false prophecy works in you to deceive you and make you worship the beast. This false prophet is what says, let's make an image. Let's make an image and worship this beast. Let's make an image of this beast and worship him. Okay? What did God tell us not to do? Don't make an image. Don't worship an image. I'm the Lord your God. I deliver you out of bondage. Do not make images. What's the false prophet wants you to worship? That image of the beast who blasphemes the Lord. And Keith, you remember we talked about this. We talked about Deuteronomy chapter 6, how the prophet, the dreamer of dreams, the part of the soul, what does he want you to do? He's going to lead you to serve other gods. What is the deal with an image? It tries to replace God. So an image is a replacement of God. I'm actually doing some teaching here today, so hang with me, okay? This image is trying to replace God, and it's your own soul that's going to do it. Your own soul is going to try to lead you there and give glory to this beast. So in Revelation 13, let's read verse, I think it's 16. Yes, ask a question.
Are the sea beast and the earth beast the same?
They're very much one and the same, but they're divided into these two parts because they do represent two different things. Now notice, the sea beast deals with imagination, spirit world, okay? Earth is what is manifested in the earth. So this sea beast is going to rise up and it is going to put images in your thoughts. Hopefully that makes sense. But I'll tell you what, before we read 13, turn to Acts chapter 17. I think it's verse 29. How many remember Paul preaching on Mars Hill, and he's preaching to them about worshiping a god? They've set up an idol and worshiped a god, the unknown god, right? Check this out. I'm going to have to, I think it's Acts 17, 29. Look, for as much then, this is Paul talking, as we are the offspring of God, are we the sons of God? We ought not to think that the Godhead, the divine being of God, is like unto gold, silver, stone, graven by art and man's device. Now, you see that word graven? Do you know what it means? That's the same word in the book of Revelation that is used, mark. Mark of the beast. It's an image. It's a graven image or a mark of an image. And then you set, not, no, no, go back. It's set up by man's device. Do you know what device is? If you devise something, what is that? It's an imagination. So where do idols get set up? In your imagination. You're following me, right? Idols get set up in your imagination. So what is this sea beast? The prophet wants you to set up an image in your imagination to worship. He wants you to worship other thoughts other than God. Does that make sense? So Paul clarified it when he was saying, look at you guys, you have set up these images and inscripted, I think that's the right word, of unknown God, and you've carved this image out, it's dead. Don't worship a dead idol. And so in our minds, do we set up idols in our minds to try to worship them? Do you know how we do it? We put our idols into things that we can do physically to please God. What would you call an idol? Could you worship reading your Bible over worshiping God? Could you think that reading your Bible would be your salvation rather than serving God? You could. Could you worship and make your own works an idol? Yeah, you could. So you could actually be satisfied in your heart. Well, I came to church today, so I'm doing good, and never know God at all. You could set up these idols. All of this is taking place in you. Because you're not going to set up an idol at your house, are you? You're going to carve out some woodwork, set up an idol, and then bow down and worship. You're not going to do that, are you? Anybody here going to do that? Let's hope not. Okay? Don't do that. But in your heart, would you do it? Would you do it? You would. And therefore, the Lord wants to go after the separation here. In prophecy, the beast is, yes, he is a representation, the opposite of, what do you think, Micah? What do you think the beast would be the opposite of? And I ask you specifically because there's somebody in your life that God put there. And it's a creature. And he's opposite of the beast. What? Oh. Did everybody hear that?
No.
The Lamb. The Lamb of God that takes away your sins. Now you have the opposite of the Lamb of God who is to be worshipped, who's only worthy to open the book and loose the seven seals. Now you've got the beast that rises up trying to take the place of the Lamb. So who does the false prophet want you to worship? Another beast contrary to the Lamb. Because if you worship this beast, that means you're not worshiping the Lamb. So now the beast has taken the place in image of the Lamb. So you see what it means? If you worship this image and take the mark of the beast, you are taking the name of a false image now. You are taking, you are wearing and proclaiming a false Lamb, a false truth, a false God. That's what you represent. Now, I ran over to Acts just to kind of show that, but back to Revelation 13, I think it's in 16. Hey, I threw a lot of stuff already at you guys. I don't like to do this a lot, but I have thrown a lot of stuff, okay? But I want to put this out there today. I think it's 13 in verse 16. You got to go read the whole chapter, but I'm just going to cut in here. And this is the earth beast. The earth beast, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark. Actually, can you back up? Verse 15, sorry. Thank you. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and that the image of the beast should both speak and caused that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So now notice the threat of the false prophet. If you don't worship this beast, you're going to die. Okay, so there's your worship of the images. And then 16, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save that he has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. The number is 600. It's 666. Now, I find this very interesting. Okay? The whole goal here is to simply take you away from worshiping the Lamb of God. We say the book of Revelation is, it's crazy, it's scary, it's all of this judgment. Listen to me. The book of Revelation is very simple, very simple. It's divided up into four visions where John says, I was in the Spirit. Four visions, okay? Which is really cool. The first one, he says, he reveals the Lord's day, who Jesus Christ is, both in earth and in heaven. He reveals Jesus. So right away in the first vision, the whole thing's about Jesus Christ. And we say, this book is about the revelation of Jesus, the Lamb that was slain, the one that forgave our sins, the one that ordains us to be kings and priests. That's what this book starts off. And it lets us know what's about to come. The second vision is from the throne room. And John starts off these visions by saying, I was in the Spirit. So the second one comes, he says, I was in the Spirit, or I was caught up to the Spirit, and here's the throne room. All of a sudden, you have this great throne, and one that sits on the throne, and you've got the 24 elders, and you've got the four living creatures, the four beasts, and they all are worshiping God and giving glory to God. And then the Lamb appears, and in heaven, you've got this righteous government that is sitting in heaven and ruled by the Lamb of God, right? And then the Lamb says, we're opening the book and I'm going to go judge everything that's wicked. And then here comes the seven seals and the seven trumpets and the war in heaven. And God shows that he bears witness against the devil. And then the third vision takes place, starting in Revelation 17, where once again he says, I'm caught up into the Spirit. And then he says, while I'm in the Spirit, the I think it's one of the beast or one of the seven angels says, come, I'm going to show you the Babylon, the great whore, the mystery of the harlot, and I'm going to do the final judgment. So vision three is all about destroying everything that opposed God. And then the fourth vision, guess what it is about? It's about restoring government. And what it's saying is it's a new heaven, new earth, all things new. Everything is restored back to the glory of God. New Jerusalem comes down and abides among men. So what you have here is a book that is just simply saying, God is Lord of heaven. The Lamb is the one slain. Jesus rules heaven. And everything that is judged of those that hate the Lord is judged in iniquity, put in the lake of fire, and then I'm going to set up my government again, and there will be nothing ever to oppose it. What's so scary about that? Is there anything scary about that? Nothing. And therefore, when you look at the mark of the beast, what he is saying is, I am going to seal you with my name. You belong to me. And he even told us in the book of the Church of Philadelphia in Revelation 3, the overcomer shall wear his name. He said, I'll put my name upon you and the name of the city of my God upon you. I'll write it upon you if you overcome. You will be mine. You will be mine. And what's the mark of the beast want to do? It wants to take you away from God, put his name upon you, and say, now, blaspheme God. Worship idols other than the one that saved you. Worship something that draws you away from God. Give in to lust. Give in to fear. Give in to pride. Be anger and hatred and violence. Wear that name. That's what this beast is saying. Wear the name of violence. Isn't that what one of the things that got that dragon cast out of heaven? His violence. And the beast is wanting you to wear that violence. It wants you to wear your pride and haughtiness and so forth and fear and condemnation. But the Lord is saying, no, no, no. Do not take the name of the beast. Do not do it. Do not take a false Lamb of God. He didn't die for you. He will not die for you ever. And therefore, you'll notice when the Lord established the book of Revelation, he said, I'm going to start it off with revealing Jesus Christ and showing that he is the one true Lord and Savior. And then when I judge everything in the middle, I'm going to restore the government after everything is cast down. In other words, he started out in charge and he ended in charge. When did this beast ever have charge? When? He never did. I'm not on video today still, right? So I'm going to go a little longer. But notice, I need to know something. How many of you guys are following me? Did I put too much out there? We could do this for days. The book of Revelation, I will tell you something. Not only is it one of the greatest books in the Bible, it is the book with the answers. Everything in the Bible ties to the book of Revelation, and the book of Revelation ties to everything in the Bible. Everything in the book of Revelation you can find in the Bible, elsewhere, outside of the book of Revelation. And you know what it's all about? It's interesting how I took this from the Ten Commandments and showed you that even in the book of Revelation, he is saying, there is no other image to worship but me. And it's interesting, just like you could set up carved images, like in an earthly fashion, God said, I tell you what, I'll give you an earthly image. I'm going to name him Jesus. But when I send him to the earth, I'm actually going to put him to death to show you that an earthly image is not to be worshipped. It can't live forever. So even God said, I'm not going to let an earthly image be worshipped for eternity. He's going to have to be a spiritual thing. Now, how does that relate to us? You know how? Because you have imagination. You have imagination. Where does God want you to love the Lord? In your heart? In your soul? In your mind? In your strength? Are all of those spiritual? So when did he ever want you to make anything in the earth an image to worship? Nowhere. Nowhere. Nowhere in the Bible. See, God knew that the real church was you. It's you, Brad. It's you, Julie. The real church is in you. The real church is in the Spirit, in you. Well, I love this building. We get to come here and hang out. But boy, oh boy, take it away. What do we still have? The real church. The church of God that sits in our imagination, and God can abide with us. But if there's a false image there, uh-oh. What do you got to do those images? What'd they do in the Old Testament? They put them to death. But then what about just images? They tore them down, didn't they? They destroyed them. You know, it's something interesting in the Old Testament. When a king was wicked, what'd they do? What do you think they did?
False images.
They set up false images.
Yeah.
Is that not the craziest thing? It's so accurate. So you set up false images. But every time a righteous king came into place, which was very few times in the Old Testament, what did they immediately do? They tore them all down, Keith, didn't they? They tore them all down. Wow. What is God commanding us to do? Tear down our images and worship one true image of God, Jesus Christ. And where's he at? Well, he's in heaven, sitting on the right hand of God, ruling the nations. That's another story for another time. Nations, tongues, languages, all of that, very important subject. We'll get to that later. But he's ruling the nations. And all of a sudden, we've got the kingdom of God working in us. And why is the falsehood of the beast so important to overcome? If you think that one day that a man's going to rise up from another country and he's going to set a chip or some kind of thing physically in you that's going to hinder you, and you cannot buy or sell or anything if you don't take it, you're thinking wrong. You're thinking wrong. Do you think these men of God from years ago were thinking computer chips that wrote this Bible? They were surrounded by Antichrist, Keith. They were surrounded by Antichrist. What is in the world? The spirit of Antichrist? That world in you? Many voices, many Antichrists. John says it. So what are you throwing down on a daily basis? You're denying the spirit of Antichrist and the mark of the beast, and you are taking on the name of the Lord, and you are walking in his name, not the name of the beast, not the name of a false Lamb of God. Not going to happen. So when he rises up in the waters, which chapter 17 tells us what the waters is. What's it say? Peoples, nations, tongues. It's the mind. It's the same place where the church abides. Because think of it like this. Notice the examples in the New Testament. Paul went around establishing churches, didn't he, Brad? What happened every time Paul left? What happened with those churches? Didn't they creep in? Didn't they creep in? Trying to be unawares, it says. They tried to creep in and destroy the church. Who was that? These false prophecies? What are they wanting them to do? Worship the beast? What does the beast strive off of? The law of God. Commandments. So what would a false prophet want you to do? Live by the letter of the law and not by the spirit of a law. Very true. Very true. And I'll repeat that for when Jesus said, I'll even destroy the temple in 3 days and raise it up. Did they get mad at him? Did they accuse him? They did. And what was he really saying? See, we love physical things so much. We love earthly things that make us feel like we're serving God. But there's only one way to serve God, isn't there? If you got to love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, your consciousness has to be filled with the glory of God, the name of God written on you. Now, to me, that's awesome. That's awesome. So he wants, what he does is every time he brings that word of God to you that you understand, what's he writing? Is he writing his name on your heart? His name is the word of God, isn't it? Is he writing it on your heart? Oh yeah, he's writing it. That's why the rider of the white horse in Revelation 19, what was written upon him? The word of God. His name. I mean, in manifestation, he had it. These are spiritual things that are really, really want to talk to us today in 2020. Do not take the mark of the beast, I'm telling you. Why do you do not want to take the mark of the beast? Give me a few reasons. Somebody say it. I'm not going to take it because. Because I want to serve God, Brad said. Good. What else? What? Because if I have the mark of the beast, I do not overcome. True. Very good. Who else? I just want you guys to get it in your heart here. It's not my name. Dang, that's good. I had to yell it. It was so good. It's Micah said, it's not my name. That's why I'm not going to take the mark of the beast. That's heavy, man. It's not the Son of God. That's not the name of the Son of God. In the mark of the beast, 666, the number of man? Would Jesus come and say, I'm not? This is not me. This is not who I am. I'm not going to stay in the earth. I'm going to rule in heaven. You can have this earth. I just came to destroy the power of it. That's cool. Who else? I'm not going to take it because
I love God.
Because I love God with all my heart. Yeah. I like these answers, man. Who else? I'm with you. I agree 100%. Here's the thing. Because worshiping is in the imagination, you could take anything and make it an image, can't you? And you're right, it's blasphemy. Because when this beast began to rise up, and it's the little horn of the book of Daniel that speaks and speaks and speaks and speaks blasphemies against God. That's who this is. And when he does that, if you join yourself with this beast and you have his name, you will blaspheme the Lord. You will. That's why you don't want to be partaker with it. And you do not want to walk in his name, because when the judgment comes, who's he going to judge? That name of the beast. He's going to judge everything named and marked by the beast. Actually, did we read the end of that? Oh, you got to see this. Revelation 14. Remember that third angel I was telling you about? You got to see this. 14 and verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same person, the same ones, shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And that one that takes the mark, he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, whosoever receives the mark of his name. Is that a good reason not to take it? What do you think, Marvin? I don't want to take it, do you? So did I come here to warn you? Yes. But did I also come here to command you what to do? I told you, don't take the mark of the beast, but also take his name. Now today in our world, you know, like when a bride, you know, she marries her husband. It used to be that the bride would take the name. It's all symbolic. But that's kind of starting to change a little bit. You know, women don't want to do that. Let's not bring that idea into the church. Because if we are his, are we going to take on his name? Who? As his headship?
We've been created to be that. We've been created to be that name. And it says that there is no other name given to men whereby we must be saved. That's why we're going to take
this. There you go. Now we're going to take the name of Jesus and walk according to that Son of God. And remember what I told you. In heaven, when the woman birthed the son, the man child, was he preserved or was he overcome? He was preserved. That's you. That's you if you're in heaven. Now, if you get down in the earth and you decide you don't want to serve the Lord, guess what? Guess who's got their little pen out, just pen to write something on you, to inscribe something on you. I'll end with this. We got it. But say I am, you could, let me do it in a form of good and evil. No matter what I am, whether it be of the Lord or of the beast. If I come to you and I speak and I give you my name, here's how this works, okay? I give you my name, okay? What I'm doing is I'm creating an image that looks like me. That's an image. So every time, Keith, that the word of God goes forth, if it's of God and it's of the Lamb, every time I speak the word, it creates the image of God. So therefore, the name is represented, isn't it? What if it's a beast? He's carving out an image that looks like him. If you take the name of the beast, you can bank on in your manifestation, you're going to act and think like a beast. And Paul said, I wrestle with beasts at Ephesus. Who is he talking about? The children of Satan. The Pharisees. He said, I wrestled with them. And they tried to work the law because they were working after the thought of the image of the beast. And boy, did the Pharisees represent idols, idolatry, idol worship, living for their own self. They were an idol. And they worshiped the beast, man. We are not going to worship the beast. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. I know you're with me, aren't you? You with me, Julie? Yes. I'm going to walk closer. No, I'm not. You're with me, though. Anybody else? Anybody have any questions?
I think it's interesting there what you said about how Jesus doesn't do die to get lamb and false lamb.
I can't. I'm sorry. Say that again, Kelly.
It was interesting when you said that false image, that false lamb, will never die for you. And the inward thought of the beast is that they think their house shall be too. That they're going to be.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
They won't die.
That's true. The beast will never die for you. And the Pharisee was a good example of that, because what they want to do, they wanted to kill the lamb so that they could stay alive, but they would never die for you. They would never die for their followers. They just wanted to rule over their followers. And that's the nature of the beast, is to blaspheme God and rule over you and make you slaves. Isn't that Pharaoh? Isn't that Nebuchadnezzar? Huh? Isn't that the king of Assyria? Isn't that all these wicked kings? That's what they do. Isn't it Ahab? Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. There is no other. And you know, one of the things I've been focusing on is definitely establishing that we as a people, and if you did read my email from yesterday, we are the people of God, are we not? And therefore, let's wear the name of Jesus Christ. Let's wear his word, his name, his banner. Isn't that cool? Hey, by the way, one more thing. Can I just one more thing? There's a story in the Old Testament, Moses, who Amalek came to fight against Moses. And Moses said, hey, Joshua, go down and fight against Amalek. I'm going to go up on the hill with my rod. And he goes up there and he lifts up his hands. Awesome story. And his hands, and every time his hands were held up, and Joshua was winning the battle, but his hands got tired and they would start to fall. So he got Aaron and Hur, and they pulled a stone up and they set him on the stone and they held his hands up. And guess what happened? They won the battle. You know what Moses called that place? Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. You know what that means? I had it up here before. He raised up his hands as the name of the Lord, as a banner of the name of God. And every time his hands stayed up, you win. But when your hands go down, you lose. That's why the Bible talks about lift up your hands. And we go, well, I got to do that in church. No, lift them up within you. Lift up your name. Lift up your holy name of God that he's called you, ordained of God. And every time you lift up your hands, you'll win. That's true. Lift up your head, lift up your hands. All of those mean something, man. And so therefore, you may love to walk around the house and go, hallelujah, I do too. When my wife's not watching. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. But, you know, we sing, we do all kinds of stuff. Give God praise, but in my imagination, that's where it matters, man. That's where it matters. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. You see so many connections, don't you? Yeah, go ahead. Right on, man. And that's the name we're going to walk under, isn't it? Jesus Christ. He's our banner. Right on. I like that. So, anybody else?
You know, Dan, I was just thinking as you've been talking about name, because, like, I was thinking of all the examples even in the Old Testament, but name means family, right? It means origin. It means inheritance. It means, I guess that's huge, even just to say name.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, it means body. It means image. It's everything. That's very cool.
Yeah, that's good, Megan. And there's so many things to get into off of this. That's good. Yeah, that's good stuff. And listen, you guys take to heart these things, okay? You take to heart. And if you know somebody that missed the YouTube stream this morning, reach out to them and shout out them. Not like mad or anything. I'm talking about shout out like the goodness of God. Shout out the praise of God and tell them, you know, I got the name of the Lord. I'm not walking in the name of the beast, and nor are you. And I called you to tell you you're not. Okay? How about that? You call them and tell them, you're not taking the mark. We're all going to make sure of that. Right? Okay. I love you guys. And thanks for coming out today. And, you know, hang out, chat a little bit if you want to. Keep your mask on when you're up and talking. And we just want to make sure we keep this safe and good for everybody, okay? All right, God bless you this week.